5.
No.
Dr. Lyle Luskin stood by Watkins's bed.
I'm sorry, Sam, but no, not yet.
Weigert braced himself. Only two people ever said no to Samuel Watkins, and although Luskin was one of them, Weigert was not. Was he going to have to agree with Luskin? Why did people have to be so confrontational? No wonder Weigert preferred numbers. One could wrestle with algorithms, but not bash them over the head. Physics was so much more restful than medicine. However, Watkins surprised him by not exploding into his usual impatient rage. All he said to his physician was,
"When?"
Luskin said,
"I told you I can't predict that."
Sam's voice rose.
"Give me a range of time, then. Days, weeks, months. You know I can't do that accurately. You've got the lab results right there on your mobile. Look at them again, you—"
"I did look at them! What do I have you here for if all you can do is refer me to labs I've already seen?"
"I can tell you, yet again, what you already know, since apparently you weren't listening. You have pancreatic cancer. The course of that disease differs radically in each patient. You also have a nasty, newly diagnosed viral infection. Until that's cleared up, you are not stable enough for elective surgery, especially untested brain surgery. You—"
"The surgery's been tested,"
Weigert ventured. Facts, after all, mattered.
"On Julian, who is 35 years old, Luskin said, "and strong as reinforced concrete. You, Sam, are not. Let me put this bluntly. You will not survive the operation. Not until you overcome this infection and build up your strength. And maybe not even then."
"You don't know what I can and cannot survive. You just said yourself that this cancer differs radically from patient to patient."
His voice grew louder, a threatening rumble. Weigert knew that rumble. The storm was close.
"I know your condition," Luskin said, a preemptory thunderbolt in his own voice. "You hired me as your oncologist to tell you about your condition."
"I hired you to get me well enough for the surgery. This project will lead to the greatest contribution science has ever made to humanity. And if you think it's going to be stopped by some pissant MD forbidding me to—" "You hired me to tell you the truth. So listen to it, or find yourself a different pissant MD."
Abruptly, Watkins's voice dropped several decibels.
"I know I did, Lyle. I hired you to be straight with me, and you're right to do it. I'm sorry."
Weigert blinked. As often as he'd witnessed these abrupt turnarounds in Sam's mood, at least partially the result of his medication, they still surprised him. But Luskin had said the only word that really mattered to Watkins: truth. The only word that mattered to all of them, really. The only reason they were here, on this island, in this closely guarded compound, with this dying genius. Watkins said,
"Best estimate, Lyle. If you beat this infection, you have 5 to 6 months left. Same as yesterday, Sam."
The doorknob turned, and Nurse Franklin backed into the room, pushing the door open with her ample behind, carrying Watkins's breakfast tray. Weigert could never see her sparse reddish hair, blue eyes, and broad face without thinking, "Irish peasant." Even though he knew that the head nurse was actually of Polish descent and far from a peasant. Once, Julian had taken Weigert to task for thinking in stereotypes. Weigert hadn't tried to explain that sometimes stereotypes provided a useful framework for observation. Weigert, whose nanny had been Irish, associated Nurse Franklin with Nanny Kelly's basic peasant qualities: resourcefulness, stubbornness,
a devoted prickliness. He was also a little afraid of her, as he had been of Nanny. Nurse Franklin was the other person who said no to Watkins. Julian didn't. Although Weigert had noticed that Julian usually ended up getting his own way, despite never directly contradicting Sam. "Now, Dr. Watkins," Nurse Franklin said, "you're going to eat every bite of this breakfast, not like dinner last night." Watkins regarded both her and the tray with dislike.
"We're in the middle of business, Camilla. Bring it back later. Now."
She set the tray on his bed table and crossed her arms. Watkins glared.
"I said to bring it back later."
Nurse Franklin, always willing to bring in reinforcements, said to Luskin, "Doctor."
"Eat it, Sam," Luskin said. "We're done here, and you need to build up your strength." "Oh, goddammit, all right. Now what? Why is my bedroom suddenly Grand Central Station?" "Oh, it's you, Aiden. Come in. Lyle, thank you. Camilla, go."
Doctor and nurse left. Weigert tried to follow them out, but Watkins said,
"Stay."
Weigert stayed. Aiden Eberhardt closed the door behind him. Weigert considered Aiden, like Aiden's boss Julian, too young for his position, even as he knew that to him, all software people seemed too young for anything. But at least Julian was in his 30s. Aiden was 24 and looked 15. Surely Aiden was too young to be Julian's head of cybersecurity for the project. At least Julian had trained all his software people to call Watkins sir. God knows what they might have come up with on their own. Sammy? Wizard-in-chief? Death Lord? They all seemed to play those fantasy computer games. Weigert shuddered. He could hear his long-dead wife, Rose, in his head. "You really are a Victorian throwback, aren't you, my darling?" Watkins said to Aiden,
"What do you want?"
"I have the surveillance report on Caroline Soames Watkins, sir." Watkins sat up straighter in bed. The blanket shifted, exposing the left side of his frail legs.
"Good, let's have it."
"As you guessed, when she asked for 3 weeks before coming here, it wasn't really to wrap up her affairs."
"Of course not," Watkins said. "She has no affairs to speak of. She wanted to check up on me, and I'd think less of her if she didn't."
"Yes, sir. She hired a hacker named Donnie Cockroach, real name Donald Richard Hibbler. He's not good, not bad. I don't know how she got his contact info. That wasn't in her emails. Must have been in person from somebody. But once she found him, they communicated by email. He," Weigert blurted,
"you hacked private emails?"
Aiden and Watkins both looked at him. But here, Weigert felt on sure ground. He said,
"Sam, we agreed at the start that nothing on the project would be done illegally."
Watkins said,
"I know, George, but this is the only illegal thing, and it's necessary. Nobody could have foreseen David Weeks's stupid and unnecessary death." "But there are no buts. Aiden, there's no chance that either my great niece or this cockroach person could find out that you hacked her emails?"
"None," Aiden said, looking affronted. Well, Weigert thought, at least the boy had pride in his profession. Aiden said,
"If I can continue?"
"Go ahead," Watkins said.
"I sent the full report to you on Encrypt One, but the gist of it is that she wanted info on three things: you, the compound, and its funding. All Cockroach got about you was information from public records. About the compound, he got the building history and some of the orders for our equipment. That was inevitable. Also, external pictures of the compound walls, the island, everything a tourist could get from a car or drone or helicopter. Nothing that reveals anything."
"And the funding?"
"He tried, but
Whoever set up your multiple shell corporations and Cayman bank accounts and all the rest of it was very good. Cockroach didn't get much. I would bet anything that Caroline...
Dr. Soames Watkins, Weigert corrected, despite himself.
Aiden nodded, but Weigert could feel the grin behind it.
Sorry, Dr. Soames Watkins. But it's going to be confusing with a Dr. Watkins and a Dr. Soames Watkins.
Watkins ignored this. He said,
Where did she get the money to hire Cockroach? Your initial report said both she and her sister were living pretty much on the edge. She's carrying massive med school debt, and there are no other living relatives.
Weigert knew this part of the great niece's history. Caroline Soames Watkins and her sister had grown up with some money, not, of course, on Samuel Watkins's scale, but had apparently been cut completely from their late parents' will. Everything had been left to some ballet company. Weigert didn't know why. He suspected that Watkins didn't know either. But it seemed a dreadful thing to do. Ballet? All very well in its place, of course, but there must have been some terrible family conflict. Sometimes Weigert was glad that he and Rose had not had children. Aiden said,
Caroline, Dr. Soames Watkins, I mean, borrowed the money from a friend, a cardiologist at Fairley Memorial, Dr. Devon Lanehart.
Good, good. Now she's carrying even more debt.
Yes, sir. All the particulars are in my report. Good. Nice job, Eberhart. You may go.
Weigert liked the boy better when he saw Aiden's brief blush of pleasure at Watkins's praise. After Aiden left, Weigert said,
So, she's coming. Day after tomorrow. Haggerty made all the arrangements, including rushing through a passport. Hers had expired. What do we do if she doesn't choose to stay here?
She'll stay, Watkins said.
What happened to her at that hospital was brutally unfair, but that's the modern world, and it's turning out beneficial for us. Her performance evaluations are excellent.
Did that mean Aiden had hacked into hospital records, too?
No, Sam wouldn't condone anything that illegal.
Although, Weigert sometimes suspected that Watkins would do anything at all for this project. Well, he heard Rose's voice in his head. Wouldn't you, too?
No, Weigert answered. But almost anything. After all, the project's underlying theory, before Sam's and Julian's separate species of genius had gotten hold of it, was Weigert's. Weigert did not forget that. Not even when the other two were bending the theory to their own purposes, to their chance at immortality.
Watkins lay back on his pillows and closed his eyes. Weigert said,
Is the pain bad, Sam? Shall I call Nurse Franklin?
God, no! That woman is a thorn in my side, which doesn't need any more thorns. The pain meds will kick in soon. Talk to me, George, about something before all this. Preferably way before.
Weigert, glad to have a task he could perform for his old friend, thought briefly.
Do you remember that night at Oxford when we met? You had just arrived at college and stood in the quadrangle looking lost, with your luggage piled around you.
Watkins, eyes still closed, smiled. Encouraged, Weigert continued.
I happened to be passing, and you bellowed at me in all your so obvious Americanness. How do I find my goddamn rooms when nothing has any goddamn numbers? Not a bellow.
Oh, bloody bellow. I found your rooms with you, and you offered me a rather good brandy you'd bought at the Heathrow duty-free. I had been ready to dismiss you as another crass American who'd somehow bullied his way into Oxford, but I was impressed when the conversation turned to molecular physics, and I learned how good you were.
Not as good as you, Watkins said.
No, Weigert said simply.
but still good. And then we forgot physics and got royally drunk.
I got less drunk than you,
Watkins said.
You couldn't hold your liquor, George. You still can't. And you couldn't find your own rooms in college, or anything else there. Heaven only knows what would have become of you without me.
Dreaming spires my ass,
Watkins said, and Weigert saw that he was drifting into sleep, until the door burst open and Nurse Franklin bustled back in.
Doctor! You haven't eaten a thing. It's getting stone cold.
Watkins's eyes opened. He scowled at her and stuck his fork into a piece of scrambled egg.
Go away.
I'm staying right here until I see you eat that breakfast. Every last bite.
Everyone, even Sam, had to answer to somebody.